My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
Welcome. Casey and Lisa, thank you. Good job. The fourth Sunday of Advent, love, as we've gone through faith, hope, peace, and now we're into love and the love of Christ. And as we look at this passage, the question, as we've been building upon what Dave Sharman started, faith in a faithless world, how do we look at love? And I would contend love in a loveless world. I think there are many today that would totally challenge me on that, because how does the world see love? Not as we would. It would be very selfish, very self-centered, pleasure, all of those kinds of things, and not the way that Christ would look at love. And yes, there are Christians out there that are definitely pursuing that, as they should. But I think the world in general could not go there. And so the main idea, the main theme of this sermon is the love of Christ within us. And I should have had an apostrophe there, so you grammarians, forgive me for for erring on my syntax there. But is the love of Christ within us to be engaged in a self-seeking, loveless world? And that's the topic that I really want to dive into today. And so as we look at that passage that Casey and Lisa just read, and we're not going to read the whole thing right now, but just starting off with those first two verses, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And let's open in prayer before we start here. Father, we just thank you for your word, which is the word of God. It's the word of Jesus Christ. It's that which is true without error, as you wrote it, through the lives and the pens of many, many authors, but it's your word. And we just give you thanks for it, and that you will open our hearts and teach us today, instruct us, instruct our minds. Okay, we'll go this way for a moment. So John 15, 12 and 13, my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. How has Christ loved you? Think about those words. And do you dare go where you need to go in thinking about, hold on there, sir. Now? Yep. Technology, amazing. How those old guys talked to thousands of people. Of course, if you've been in a true amphitheater, sound is, the way it works is amazing. But anyway, that's a whole different physics lesson. We're not going to go there. How has Christ loved you? Think about that. Does anybody want to dare open their hearts and share how Christ has loved them? Abundantly. died on the cross. From day one. What's that? He's taught you some things the hard way. Get more specific. Died on the cross abundantly. How? Yes, he did those things. And now I'm pushing. What's that? All of your children are saved. He gave up his glory in heaven, yes. But get personal. Struggles. What? Preserved your marriage.
He knew from the beginning of time how wrong the things we would do would be. And if it would have just been me, he would have still went through the sacrifice he mm-hmm. went through. But even though he saw, even those that would deny, he still was willing to take the cup that God had laid out for him.
So even if it were you only, I don't know if everybody heard that, Christ would still go to the grave, as Jesus said, go to the cross and go to the grave and be raised for you. But he did that for all of us. Saved your children. Saved your marriage.
He brought me back to church and gave me the desire to read this.
Brought you back to church, gave you the desire to read the word. I can think of Ludi. He made himself known without being taught. He revealed himself. Others, Dave? Spared your life many times. And as you say that, and I'll share one of Dave's stories, if that's okay.
Too late.
Too late. But in a Bible study at our church, at our house many years ago, we were talking about angels, and I had asked if anyone had seen, and Dave said yes, that he was in a foxhole, I'm assuming, and a truck was coming, and it literally came to an abrupt halt right here. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. He gets us through the tough times. Anybody else? This could be our whole sermon, literally. I mean, if we really opened our hearts and bared our souls, what? Blessed you with a wonderful family? Yes. Same here. And I think we could all say a lot of those same things. And that's my point. Are we really thankful? Yes, there's these broad phrases that we talk about, that Christ went to the cross. He gave up his life. I mean, there's those biblical statements, which are true and wonderful and amazing in and of themselves. But get personal. And we have. And that's what I was wanting to get to, is where has Christ loved you? He saved your life. And he didn't mind too. And just as I'm talking about this, I can think when I left CSU with my bachelor's degree or master's degree, and I was in Clay Center, Nebraska, and Jan was still here, and I was driving back one night, and it was about midnight, and I come through. If you've been down Highway 34, between like McCook and Imperial, there's a section there that's, I don't know, it's several miles, and it's just straight. There's not a curve in that road. And when I left McCook, somewhere in there when I hit that stretch, I went to sleep. And I woke up about 10 miles down the road. And there is no reason in the world I should have been alive in that lane where I was supposed to be. I should have died. I wasn't driving that pickup. God was. And we all have, I mean, we can all think of those kinds of stories. And sometimes it's your child or a grandchild or so many. And we've been so blessed as a church with all of those, a lot of those things. Marriages have been saved. People's health has been changed. Think of the things that we've prayed through, not just on the prayer chain, but on here on Sunday morning, and how those lives have been touched. And Kaysen is one of those. And there's others. A dear lady in the back who survived a motorcycle accident. Shouldn't have. You know? So we can think about those, but how has God loved you? Why? Yes, he loved you. But why? Lisa talked about it. Because he made you, right? He's your father. What's that? He wants that relationship. He put you here before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, 8, I think this is the right verse. Before the foundation of the world, your name was written in the book of life. So before God, day one, even before day one of Genesis 1, chapter 1, in the beginning, before that, God wrote your name in the book of life. And you can say, wait a minute, I wasn't born yet. So? Yes, you were. Your soul was there in heaven. And there is a passage in Psalms, and it's not coming to me right now, that I used it a couple years ago. I'll have to look it up and come back with it, because it's just not there. But there's a psalm that talks specifically about that thing, that God knew you. And Jeremiah is one of those passages. I think Psalm 119 is also one of those. God knew you before you were born. He formed you. Because he loves you. And so this whole passage of, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Who would you lay your life down for? The church? Family? You men, not as many as you should. And I think we could all say that. But husbands, that's a hill we have to die on. Would we be called to that? We don't know. We hear stories. You read stories, especially of men and women in the military who have done those kinds of acts of valor and heroism. And some of those would probably say that that's not true, that the others that were there with them were the heroes. And we hear those stories, and we expect those kinds of stories out of our men and women that are in the armed forces. But it goes beyond that. In the realm of the world of Christ, would you give your life for that person? Could you? And I'm not looking for answers there. That's kind of a rhetorical question. But think about that. That word, love, in this sense, as Christ is using it here, it's the word agapao in the Greek text, which means technically to properly or to prefer to love. For the believer, preferring to live through Christ, embracing God's will, choosing his choices, and obeying them through his power. And that comes out of Bible Hub, is where I got that. The definition of the word agapao in and of itself is to you were willing to die for. In the Greek language, there are multiple words for the word love. In the English language, we're too simplistic. We try to use one word and peanut butter it across the entire language. Other nations don't do it that way. The Greeks have the word eros, which is the word for intimacy and love, that kind of thing. Phileo, which is the word for brotherly love, which is what I talked about last week in John chapter 21, as Christ is there cooking breakfast on the shore, and the disciples come up and they join him, and Christ says, Peter, do you, and Christ uses the word agapao, do you agapao me? And Peter says, I phileo you, I like you, is really what he's saying. And Christ says, do you agapao me? Because Peter denied Christ three times, right? Before the execution, before the crucifixion. And Christ is redeeming him here in this process. And Peter says, I phileo you. I like you. And Christ asks him the third time. But now Christ comes down to Peter's level. Peter, do you like me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. And that's where I went into that conversation about Christ in his Godhead knows literally everything, and he knows the return. In his form of man, he doesn't know that kenosis thing that we've talked about in Philippians. But they're using these two words. Do you love me? I like you. And then he says, feed my sheep. Peter, would you die for me? Would you go to the ends of the earth? I mean, this whole conversation embodies everything that John has been talking about writing up to this point. What is the love of Christ? And what is the mission of Christ? And where are we to go? And do we love him to that point that we would die for him as he died for us? And that's a heavy subject. 1 John 4, 9 through 10. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, because in and of ourselves, we can't. We can't get there. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment, the propitiation for our sin. We can't go there on our own because we don't have that power. It's only God, the triune Trinity, that can truly do that. 1 John 3:23 through 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them, in him. We know this. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. If we believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, just as he commanded, the one that keeps his commandments, we then abide. And this brings in the whole chapter of John 15. That we have been grafted into the body. And all of Christendom, Israel, and New Testament believers in Christ as well, all come into that, that Christ is the tree, and we are connected into. We have been grafted in, and we are now part of the family of Jesus Christ. Do we keep the commandments of Christ? I'm not going to ask everybody, how have you done with that in the last... In the last hour, we're not gonna check you for answers there, because I would fail miserably too. But do we keep those? And it's a lifelong, it's a daily battle. Because the spiritual warfare, and we've been talking about that, the spiritual warfare of the mind, Satan is attacking constantly because his mission is to seek to devour and destroy and kill. Literally all humanity, because everyone is, all mankind is made in the image of God, right? Genesis. But we have been grafted in because we have accepted Christ. So we therefore, most importantly, Satan is coming after us, but he's going after everyone because he's indiscriminate. But the bride of Christ is first. Do we keep the commandments? In light of whatever is coming at us, whatever life has brought, whatever we're living through, we're struggling with, the things that we just talked about at the beginning. Marriages were struggling. Children were being born. Dave Sharman's granddaughter had a stroke as she's coming out of the birth canal. God, how does that happen? And it does. That little girl has a long road ahead of her. I mean, all of those things. As life brings us, whatever it brings us. But in light of that, are we following the commandments of Christ? And what are those commandments? Mark 12, 29 through 31. And you know these. Jesus answered, what's the first and foremost? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Right? Some versions will say spirit in there. The second is this. You shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other greater commandment than these. Yes, if you study the Ten Commandments that are there in Exodus chapter 20, do you find them in the New Testament? Absolutely. You may have to dig a little bit, but they are there. They are all there. But Christ himself says, when asked, what are the commandments? And he lays them out. Because all of those original ten fit right in that he just said. Love the Lord your God. The Lord is God. He is one. That's like the first five commandments in the Old Testament. And then you have the others. Do not covet. Thou shalt not kill. Because if you're doing those things, you don't love your neighbor. You're definitely coveting. We're trying to take whatever your neighbor has, right? There is no greater commandment than these. And that's what we're committed to live up to. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life. Romans 5, 7, 8. We talked about this. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren and the sister. It's mankind inclusive. And so then as we go on in this passage, and this is one of, just this is the conversation taking place at the Last Supper in the upper room as the disciples all sit around the table and they're sharing that meal and they're sharing the wine and the cup and Jesus is washing their feet. And this is their discussion, their dinner conversation, as Christ is laying all of this out to them, as he's preparing them for what is about to take place. John 15, 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Friends, that word that I just talked about, phileo, philos, a friend, an associate, a confidant, a neighbor, someone that you like, right? Luke 12, verses 4 through 5, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. We are to be in fear of what Christ, who Christ is, what Christ is, and what he can do. But in that word, friend, do you feel like you're a friend of God? At all times? Are there times that you feel not? That you've been ostracized in some way? You have set yourself apart? Do you ever have those thoughts? Am I really saved? Anybody have those thoughts? You know, if we're truly honest. And that comes right from the pit of hell, because that's Satan putting that in your head. He can put that thought in. He can't read your mind, but he can put that thought in there because he watches you. And he knows when you do this, statistical probability is you're going to do Y because you did X. Because he's been watching you. He's a tremendous student of behavior. And so be aware of that. But those thoughts, and sometimes we have those thoughts on our own, but do we truly embrace that salvation, that it cannot be lost? He chose us, as we're going to see, because we don't have power to choose him. But he has called us friends. So much so that he just told us he would die for us. And he did die for us. That word slave, the word doulos, is the word, it's not slave in terms of the way that we use slave in our language today and the way slave has been used historically over time. and it comes with a lot of different interpretations. There are, in the old world, slaves were a common part of life, no matter what country you lived in. And if your invading army happened to be the winner, all of those people that lived there, they were now going to become your property and your slaves to be used as you saw fit. And especially in the Ottoman Empire, for hundreds of years, they were masters at accomplishing that. And many other nations were as well. There were indentured servants. Many people came out of Ireland in the potato blight years and came to this country to serve in hopes of bettering their lives. So there's different levels of slavery and servanthood. But God adds one more to it in this word doulos, that you are a bond servant. You choose willingly to serve Christ with all of your life and with all that you have for all time, no matter where he takes you. Right? This is your mission if you choose to accept it. It's not, this tape isn't going to self-destruct in 5 seconds. But he's called you. And are you willing to step to that point? Because if you're going to die for this person, if you're willing to die, if you're willing to go into the ministry and go to China, one of the most brutal places out there today, or parts of Africa, Kenya, is it Kenya? Nigeria, where Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. And brutal things are being done. But if Christ calls you, the chances are your life is probably not my will, God, but yours. Let it be done. As Mary said when the angel approached her, not my will, but Lord, if this is your choice. The highest doulos, the highest dignity in the New Testament, namely believers who are willingly to live under Christ's authority as his devoted followers. What do we typically think of as slaves? When you see that word, when you hear that discussion, what's your thought process? What's that? Roots? The movie Roots? Yeah. And the brutality that went with that? The work? I shouldn't say work ethic. I mean, people that went through that had a tremendous work ethic because it wasn't of their choice. But there are multiple connotations of, and typically probably most of them are negative, right? When we think of the word slave and what that entails today, and just thankfully there are no children, but the sex slave trade that is being propagated on the world today, on so many of our kids, our children, and what that entails. And the return to childhood work back in the 1900s, at the turn of two centuries ago, where children were working in factories as adolescents for 10 to 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we think of slaves in a lot of those terms, but here God takes it to a whole different perspective, that you are a bond servant. You are a bond slave. By accepting to choose to follow me, I have chosen you. Do you follow me? Willingly. John 8, 25 and 26. 25. So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. Do you believe that God has made known to you all things out there? What's in here? Yes, there may be events that you don't know about that haven't happened yet. But in terms of how you are to live, and what was the greatest commandment? That we are to serve no matter where he takes us, no matter where he places us. Last year's VBS theme, missionaries, and a lot of those missionaries, where they went, many of them did not survive. And it's still the same thing today. That theory is still true. It's not a theory, it's a fact. But God has revealed in terms of what is needed for holiness, what is needed for righteousness, the path of salvation, who Christ is, it's here. He has given us all that we need. There's nothing else that needs to be written. There's new things that we're going to learn as we live through it. But Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. It's all been done before. It may not have been done to us, but it's out there. And we can learn about it. Are we a friend of God? He calls us friends. Do we call him a friend? And am I willing to be a bondservant to the Lord as he has chosen? The last part, John 15, 16, and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Think about that word. That you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. And Steve, I'm going to jump to point two here. John 6, verse 70. Christ is having this conversation. And he says, did I myself not choose you? The 12, and yet one of you is the devil. How do you think that for 3 years, as Christ is doing his ministry across the nation of Judah and Samaria and so on, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall? What were those conversations between Christ and Judas Iscariot? You ever thought about that? And what the campfire talk may have been, you know, sitting around frying your fish that you caught that day. And what may have happened. We won't know until we get to heaven. And then we probably won't care because we're home, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. But he chose us, and he appointed. We typically talk about that word chose, but then you throw that word appoint in there. Christ has sent us on a mission, wherever that is. For me, it was here. For others, it's different. And sometimes that appointment deals in hardship. Things that you did not expect or anticipate, or even maybe want because of what came to you in the loss of a business, a family member, your dreams, whatever the case might be. But Christ appointed you to a mission to fulfill. And where is he calling that? that you should go and what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. Is all your fruit that you've accomplished so far, is it still out there? What's bad fruit smell like? You thought about that? There's some fruit that I put out there that I shouldn't have put out there and was not good. And we could all say that. But he wants our fruit, that which we are doing, he wants it to remain. And think about that conversation that Paul is having with, I think it's the Corinthians, that people were saying, you know, I am a disciple of Christ, or a disciple of Paul, I'm a disciple of Apollos, and Paul was going, does it matter that you have to be a disciple of me? These others are doing their part. And if it's in Christ, that's what should remain, just as it should for me as well. And that would be true for us. If we are doing what he has called us to do, if it's just teaching VBS, and that four-year-old child that comes and accepts Christ as our Savior, you would want that to remain, right? Or whatever else it may be. It may be somebody in Nigeria or China or wherever he is called. But that fruit should remain because it's holy. First Peter 1:15, but like the Holy One who called you, because he did, he called us, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because we are to be holy as he is holy. And from that, John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. First, what are we asking? When it comes to our prayer life, if we are walking with Christ in this mission, and if our fruit, he's calling us for our fruit to remain, that we, our life is to be holy, it is to be just, it is to be righteous, it is to be all of these things, what are we asking for? God, I still don't have that 1967 red Camaro with a blown Hemi engine. It's not in the garage. Or are we asking about the lives of those that he has given us? The lives of our children. Especially when they walk out the door like, Christianity, are you kidding me? That's so 2,000 years old. Forget it. Doesn't matter. There's other stuff out there. There's the internet that somebody didn't invent. But anyway, that just disregard where that came from. It's secular, yes. There's all this. It's just garbage. And we get caught up in that. What are we asking? And why are we asking? And what about those times when you ask and God doesn't answer? He hears because he hears. He never stops. But when he doesn't answer, how do you handle that? And we've talked about that. Do you push on? Is God going to find you faithful? Because he wants you to rise to a different level. It's like an athletic coach pushing you to run 10 more laps when you're puking your guts out because you've already ran 100 or whatever the case is. If you've seen that story about the 1980 hockey team, If anybody, how many of you seen that story? And the coach that kept pushing them and pushing them. And he's like, who are you? Well, I played for Boston. I played for Dartmouth. I played for whomever. And he says, he blows the whistle and run another, skate another up and down the track, up and down the rink. And finally, they've been at it for hours and they're dying. Not literally, but they think they are. And he says, who are you? And one of them says, I skate for the U.S. And he's like, finally. You get it. You're not all individuals. You're a team. And the light began to dawn in all of the rest of them's head about what he was trying to get them to accomplish. Christ is asking us to do the same thing. Are we on his team? And if he tells us to skate or run or do whatever, another whatever, are you going to go there? Are you going to be a bond slave? Willingly for whatever he is called. And when he doesn't answer, we continue. Because that conversation, the relationship that we talked about at the very beginning, how has Christ loved you? And when you don't get answers or your body hurts because we're getting older and things don't work the way, we're not 20 anymore, you know? As badly as I want to think that. And the dumb things that I try to do, I'm not 20 anymore. And Christ calls us to continue. And what are we asking? Are we asking for things that glorify the kingdom, or are we asking for things that glorify me? And I need to get my priorities straight. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And most everybody thinks the verse ends right there. Right? We don't read the most important part. To those who are called according to his purpose. It's his, this is his ball game. It's not ours. But are we in it? And so what? What's the so that? In conclusion, is the love of Christ in us? No matter what. No matter where. In the world that we live in today, that's rapidly decaying due to sin, not climate change, as the world would like to think, what can the church do? What can the Crossway Network that we're part of do? What can High Plains Harvest do? What can you do? What can I do? What can we do? How do we impact our world? How do we impact ALT in Northern Colorado? How do we impact our own family? And that's different in a lot of ways for all of us, but yet it all comes back to the same thing. Is the love of Christ in us? I hadn't thought about saying this, but after the first of the year, I want to go back to what we did there early September, whatever it was, at the end of August, but to have another time of prayer and fasting and do another session like that, along with planning of what's 2026 going to look like? And what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us corporately as a body? What does it mean for all of us individually as Christians? And where do we go? What do we do? last Wednesday, we had our monthly pastors meeting throughout all the Crossway churches in the Rocky Mountain region. We all met in Fort Collins. And it was amazing to hear what God was doing at all of them, whether it was Denver, Fort Collins, didn't matter where. There are 6 new church plants, this has never been attempted before in the Crossway Network. There are 6 new church plants planned for 2026. Normally we've done like 1 or 2, but this year it's going to be 6, which is stretching resources and funds and all of that to the max. And the question is, how do we go faster? Because God can. And I look around and I think the things that we've been doing, FCA got started, our youth group got started, VBS got started, all of these things have happened within High Plains, and yet, how do we go faster? And some of you are probably thinking, I've already burned up my track shoes. How do I go faster? God can handle it. In and of our own selves, we cannot. We cannot get there. But Christ can through us, if we're willing. And if we're willing to take that love that Christ has placed within us to that point, wherever it's at. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, let your will be done? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you bring to us. And sometimes you discipline us, and it doesn't feel like love. But yet, the outcome is truly what you're after. A change in our hearts, a change in our minds, a change in our attitude, a change in our walk. And we just give you thanks. We praise you for what you continue to ask us to do. And help us to rely upon you. And it's not to say, Lord, I don't have those resources. You're right, we don't. But you do. Help us to turn to you. And as we continue to walk through this Christmas season, the birth of the Christ child who came to save us from our sin, that vision is still new every time we read the Bible story. May it continue to light our hearts and our minds for the mission, the gospel that has to go forward. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.